Rich Kimble, Kerry Haskell here on Z62. And time for another edition of Sports Lit 101 as Bruce checks in with us from beautiful Swanville, Maine. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing well. You guys ready for a little snow in the mid-coast?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Unfortunately, we finally got great ice on the pond, and now I'm going to have to shovel it.
No, dear.
You can't win, you know? But no, we're doing well.
What? How much are you expecting to get in your area?
About the same as maybe a little more than Bangor.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, what have we got for Sports Lit this week?
Well, I said last week, we're looking into the corners of sports. This book is called Lakota Hoops. Lakota being one of the Sioux tribes, Life in Basketball on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation by Alan Klein. And this book is remarkably well partnered with Michael Powell's Canyon Dream.
Mm.
This does for the Pine Ridge and to some extent the Rosebud reservations in South Dakota what Canyon Dreams does for the Navajo Reservation. But it's not the same book, and I wouldn't want anybody to think it's just it is. It's very different in a lot of ways. This book took a long time. Klein has been going out to Pine Ridge for a very long time to interview people, to watch the phenomenon of what's called res ball. Now, the Pine Ridge Reservation is perhaps the poorest place in all of the United States. And sadly, you discover through this book that South Dakota may be the leader in racism in all of the U.S. The number of hate crimes per 1,000 people in South Dakota is demonstrably greater than Toronto, Boston, certain other cities that were surveyed. So it's a place where there's a lot of tension. There's tremendous poverty. But there's something about the way basketball works in Lakota culture that's really pretty interesting, and it reminded me somewhat of what Michael Powell wrote about in Canyon Dreams, but it's a little different, and that's that the Sioux, yeah, I'm sure this is true of other Native tribes, and I'm constantly trying to check with Native Americans I know to make sure I'm not throwing a white bias in any of this, have a sense of family that's different, I think, than a lot of white people do. That the family is not just a nuclear family. It's not just the extended family to whom you're related by blood, but who sort of chooses to become part of your family. And so the way that a lot of young people survive in really tough times on this reservation is to rely on that greater family. And part of that very often for a lot of kids is the game of basketball. Now, they're playing basketball. We think we have winter. We do. We have cold. We have snow. But they have, because it's so flat in parts of out there, just incredible difficulty getting around in the winter, even to games. And there are very few people that have really reliable transportation, but everybody gets to every game. Somehow they find a way to get people there. What's really interesting is the dynamic of the difference in the way that schools in the on the reservation from the towns of Porcupine or Wounded Knee or Oglala play each other. And the way they play the towns just over the line in Nebraska or to the north of the reservation that are primarily all white or mostly white, there is really a sense that it's incredibly important to beat the white teams, not so much for the sports, but for the respect. And this is really a fascinating book. Now, Klein is an anthropologist, not a journalist, so he comes at this from a slightly different way. And I started to think about this in terms of where we are. All right, Pine Ridge is huge; it's a giant reservation. It's I think 157 miles in the kitty corner, and these kids will drive 100 miles to a game. To play, you know, Bangor complains that they have to go to Portland. You know, these people have to go huge distances, and so what happens is you get the basketball can become so much of the focus that when basketball is gone, the people who have been playing it are empty. They don't know what to do next. They don't know where to go next, and almost none of these very gifted players are able to go on to college. And do well in part because of tremendous educational disadvantages. The story of the institutional racism in South Dakota is appalling, and but all the subtle stuff that goes with it, too. So what I've done is I've reached out through my friend Molly and Dana to ask about the role of sports with Native American people in Maine, because one of the things I realized is different is we don't have a reservation that has its own high school. So if you're a member of the Penobscot, Passamaquoddy, Maliseet, or Mi'kmaq people in Maine, you go to high school and play sports, you automatically play in a mixed team. And whereas on the Navajo and on the Sioux reservations, that's not true. You can go to schools that are completely what they call Indian schools. You can, if you choose to, go off reservation to other schools. That's allowed, and it's paid for by the government, the same way school choice works in Maine. But it so the identity not only becomes your racial identity and your cultural identity, but the sports that you play become part of that fabric. And that, I think, is really interesting. And I started to think about that, and that we don't have that here. You know, I've coached a number of athletes who lived on Indian Island or enrolled members of the tribe, taught them in class, had them in class at the University of Maine, and you know, talked to them about and learned as much as I can about their culture. But I never really thought about how it mingles with sports, in that sports for them becomes no different than anybody else because they're playing on a team and they want to win, whereas and on the reservation, it becomes something else because winning becomes more important than just winning a basketball game.
Well, looking forward to reading it. It sounds absolutely terrific.
Yeah, it really is, and I'm hoping this may be rather ambitious, but I'm hoping that maybe we might be able to have a discussion with both Klein and Powell, and will we ever get back to studio guests with someone here in Maine to really talk about that, because this really opened my eyes. I loved Canyon Dreams. It was my pick of the year's best book last time around. And it's a little easier to read than this. This is a little bit more academic, though it's very well written. And Klein is a professor at Northeastern, so I think I can probably get a hold of him. But it made me really understand that we talk about the importance of sports in building character. That may be true, but I'm wondering if the character of people building a sports team isn't in itself a different and just as noble an exercise. So it's really, really a fine book. And I've driven through the Badlands once. I was helping my sister-in-law move from Wisconsin to California. And we got off at Wall, South Dakota, and drove a loop down through the Badlands, and which is obviously very sacred to the Sioux people, all of the Badlands. And I thought about how that landscape and that climate and the way you're just east of where the Rockies really start to rise, and really along the Great Plains, how that really would be a very different place to live, a very different place to grow up. It's a really good book, and the heroes in it are heroes just like Raul Mendoza is in Canyon Dreams. And the tragedies are many and heartbreaking, but it's really an inspiring book.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Bruce.